I think we need to plug our one of our former guests has a musical that is currently playing in Hamilton.
In the Hammer,
Yeah,
where he's
beautiful.
from.
Yeah, Beautiful Scars, the musical is playing. So I'm heading out to the Hammer this week to check it out. And we'll come back and we'll talk a bit about it. But Tom Wilson, that's Tom Wilson's biography.
Yes.
Wrote a story about his growing up and his life and him finding out that that he's Mohawk and discovering his heritage and looking forward to going to see that.
I am looking forward to him taking that on the road so that we can hopefully
Yeah.
see a later date, maybe in Toronto.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be really, really great. I've only heard good things about it so far. I've had a couple of friends go and see it. They really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, looking forward to seeing that. But we also went to see Rock Icons, the Black Crowes,
Yes.
on the weekend. No,
Yes.
last week. When was it? We saw them
Last
last week. It was during the week we went.
week.
It was a
Yeah.
midweek show. Your
Yeah.
thoughts,
Goal night.
your ratings, your review.
Oh, I thought it was amazing. I said to somebody I work with at the office, I said, who's seen them before? And I said, well, you've seen them. It's my first time. It's just like they're just such good musicians. They're such good songwriters. So whether it's a hit, a new song, a deep track, or a
Yeah.
Chuck Berry cover, they just make you feel like you've known the song forever.
Yeah. That is so true. That is so true. It was a great show. It was just a fun, it was a fun show. They were having fun.
Yeah. The stage was stripped down. Like, I love the fact that they just had everything bare at the back of Massey Hall. There were no backdrops. Like
Yeah.
there was some stuff that was part of the whole show, which made it really cool. But
Yeah.
you saw all the old balcony at the back of the
Yes.
where they put the cutout of Chuck Berry up there. So
Yeah, they had that. They had like the patio lights,
yep.
draping the stage. And it was just amazing music. It was really, really good. And yeah, I think both you and I obviously enjoyed it, but even the opening act,
Yes.
Wine Lips, I think.
Wine Lips from Toronto too,
Yeah.
which just blew me away. I cannot wait to see them again. They were just,
It was fresh. It was like it was different.
it reminded me of some of the sort of the psychedelic punk sounds from
Yes.
the 80s kind of thing
Very
that.
punk, yeah.
Yeah, very punk. Yeah, I was blown away. I cannot wait to see them again.
All right. Next, and listen. It is a privilege to see live music, especially these days, where costs are what they are, not just for live shows, but for everything. So we realize that not everyone gets to go out and see a show, but if you can see a show in a club for $20, or go see one of your favorite bands for whatever it is, if you have the opportunity to go and see it, live music, there is something about live music that is almost irreplaceable.
Hey everybody, this is Derry from Honeymoon Suite, and you are watching and listening to Welcome to the Music.
Derry, welcome, welcome, welcome. Nailed it. It's an honor to have you on the show. I just want to say, from one fellow Q107 homegrown alumni to the other, we are so honored to have you on our show today.
Oh yeah, what band were you in?
I was in the life. So we actually ran twice. We're in 93 and 94.
Ah, are they still running that thing every year?
I don't think so.
I don't think
I don't
so.
Know. I don't listen to Q now, but do you, Kareem? Are you familiar
I don't think they do. I think, you know, once YouTube exploded on the scene and now TikTok, I think they've got different ways of discovering bands.
It's a different world now. It's a thing of the past, but man, in the 80s and that, it was a thing. I mean, sure as hell helped us. And so Q, what a great station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about that whole contest, that whole experience. You know, you're with Stitch, Steve Blimke, and the Reason, I think. And then you join Honeymoon Suite. They had been around for a couple of years, and you know, just before they launch their first album, you join up, you contribute some hit songs, and then boom, you're on Q107 and you win that contest. Tell me about going through all of that. I know that's a lot there, but yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a lot of history in there, but so Johnny started Honeymoon Suite.
Yeah.
And about 6 months later I joined because his guitar player quit. So for the first 2 years, we were a bar band. We'd go up and play six nighters in Northern Ontario, playing cover songs, you know, just paying our dues, working that shit, and getting our band together. And I had Johnny. I saw him right away. This guy's a great singer. He's the front man I've been looking for. And I had a few songs, so we demoed "New Girl Now" and "Face to Face" and "Funny Business" one Sunday afternoon. At our producer's studio in his house. And then on Monday, we went back up to Kapuskasing for another gig or, you know, something like that. So they sent the tape in to Q107 because it was the, what was it, 82, 83 homegrown?
Yeah.
Anyways, the demo of New Girl got sent in there. And long story short, you know, it just got a ton of airplay and it won the contest. And we were ecstatic, you know. Things were starting to turn around. And then the labels came out to our shows and we got signed, and so
overnight success.
No, that's just it. Overnight.
Of course. Yeah.
Johnny and I both been gigging for years in other bands.
Yeah.
And we worked it, man. You know, we
absolutely,
we worked hard for what we had. But it was great. We were prepared for it when it happened. It was great.
What is it before I pass it off to Greg, what does it mean to win? What did it mean for you guys to win that? Was it studio time? Was it intros to labels? Like, what did it do for you as a band?
Oh, you know, at that time we were making like $200 a week each, you know, barely, you know, it was craft dinner and that, and we're all living together. So to win the contest and then win stuff from Steve's music. I mean, I went down there and got a Les Paul, you know, and recording gear. We felt like, you know, we'd won the lottery. So, and then here's a song on the radio, labels coming out. It was like, wow, things are, you know, you could feel things happening. So it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you worked on a number of projects with the guys from Honeymoon Suite, but a number of like around causes and supporting causes like Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And was it World with Heroes? I think it was for the Kiss.
Wow, you done your homework, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, can you talk about, you know, your involvement with causes and, you know, supporting good things?
Well, that hasn't been a ton, but the Action Speaks Louder Than Words. It's funny you say that because Doug from Loverboy, you know, we were like starting to play with these bands and meet them and hang out. Mm-hmm. And Doug reached out to us. I think it was Johnny or something, because he was doing this thing out in Vancouver, this charity, and for us to come on and Johnny to sing on or something. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, man, that's really cool. This guy's from Loverboy. We're going to do that. And over the years, there's been a lot of things, but you mentioned the Kiss thing.
Yeah.
Well, our good friend Mitch LaFon in Montreal, who's been a great friend of the band, he reached out because he's the ultimate Kiss freak, and they're doing that Kiss album. And he sent the track to me, and I had to convince Johnny to sing it, you know, and we're always game, you know, if it's a cool, a good cause, but if it's a cool song, it's Kiss, man. Come on.
Sure, of course.
So that's, we do things if it makes sense and it's good for us and it's good for the cause.
That's cool.
Nice. Now you talked about Loverboy. I think you opened for them a few times. ZZ Top, Heart, Billy Idol, a bunch of other bands from the States as well. I'm wondering, Derry, if you have any stories you can tell.
How much time you got? This isn't,
you know, it might be our last question, but go on.
Of course there's stories, man. Like, there is so much going on for us in those years. And the first record came out and exploded, and then the big prize, and then Racing After Midnight, the, you know, 83 and on into the early 90s. It was quite a blur, but it was a lot of fun. Stories, you know, I think the biggest story is you're playing a six-nighter in Timmins, you know, playing Billy Idol cover songs and Flock of Seagulls. And then 6 months later, you're on a tour bus playing arenas, opening for like Jethro Tull in America. And just doing that rock star thing on a tour bus and going from town to town and all sorts of nonsense going on and having a lot of fun. So that was our first tour, Jethro Tull, believe it or not, in the States.
Okay.
And we thought we were going to get like killed, but the audiences were really receptive. And then from there, started to get a little more in our ballpark. Like, yes, now we are opening for Billy Idol, and we used to play his songs, right?
Yeah.
38 Special, Heart, ZZ, all that stuff just kept coming. It was like, I was, it was my dream come true, you know? That's what I wanted.
Is there anything, I'm sure there was, but I'm curious about stuff you might have learned, you know, as a guitar player, as a songwriter, or do you grab your, I don't know, your notebook or whatever and just go side stage and just watch how they perform? Or I'm curious some of the stuff you might have learned or you know, borrowed as a performer from any of these guys.
Oh, I'm borrowing and stealing all the time. It's
yeah.
Part of my job as a songwriter. I just take it all in, man. Like, guitar wise, I could go out and watch Billy Gibbons or Neil Sean side stage, or Steve Stevens. Okay.
Yeah.
So really cool to be in the same building and to go out and watch them. Of course, man, it's inspiring. And for songwriting also, I mean, I'm just influenced by all this stuff and traveling through the US and listening to American radio and getting that experience of so many cultures down there. I just take it all in. What can I tell you? It's what I do.
That's cool. It's funny, cause it reminds me of a story, not a story, but my wife and I went down to Cleveland to see, I can't remember what anniversary of Ritual, but it was Jane's Addiction, Living Color. I think Screaming Trees opened, but during Living Color, Dave Navarro stood at the side of the stage and was just like a kid in the candy store watching Vernon Reid and the gang just completely shred it. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell there was just such a love and appreciation. I got goosebumps. It was amazing.
Yeah. Like, who gets to do that, you know? But it's a respect thing to, you know, to watch somebody side stage. It's really cool. Nuno is another guy that comes to mind from Extreme, who I love, you know, and we've done some shows with them, and he's the coolest guy, as far as, you know, hanging out, or if you just want to watch him play, he's good. He's cool.
And it's funny because we were, I can't remember what Authors of Metal album, I think it was, that we had on. I'm trying to remember what it was, but anyway, and we were just talking, riffing about bands, and I said, oh yeah, Extreme, and Cream was thinking of like the slow ballads, right? And I'm like, you like Extreme? I go, oh my god, dude, you have to dive into their tracks. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the, they're a pretty pretty deep band.
Yeah,
but me, I always gravitate towards the guitar player because he is just amazing.
Yeah,
and from there, you know, the music follows. And another guy that came to mind is Rick Nielsen. So at the other end of the spectrum from Nuno, we've done a few shows with him, and that guy's nuts, man. I've seen Rick back since the mid 80s, you know, hanging. He came to studio and hung out with us when we were making Racing After Midnight. And then we'd come across, we'd play together, but he's a super nice guy, but you know, he's out there, but he's fun to watch. And his guitars are nuts.
Wow, that's awesome. Actually, it's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about too. I mean, you talked about working with other musicians, working with Michael McDonald. Like, what was that? What was that like? That just like,
yeah, that was one of those moments where
I know this accident.
So. Yeah, am I? Is this guy even here right now? See, it's just a whole bunch of things happen. One thing happening and connecting to another. And in a nutshell, what happened there? We were making the big Racing After Midnight in L.A. and Ted Templeman was producing. Ted and Mike are like the best friends for a long time, you know, from the Doobies, but they're super good friends. So we had this one song that we had the music done, and I could not for the life of me get a handle on the lyric of it. You know, I just couldn't find the lyric. So Ted just said, look, man, let me send it over to Michael and see what he can do with it. So he does. He sends a cassette over, and the next day Michael sends it back with a lyric and shows up to the studio to sing it to like Johnny.
Wow.
And it was going so well. And then the next thing you know, there's background vocals and Michael is out in the studio and Ted sends me out there with him. Here I am singing on the same microphone, Michael McDonald standing right next to me. You know, it's because we wanted multiple voices. So I'm like, this is cooler than shit, man. So stuff like that, really, I don't know how to describe it. It happens and it's amazing.
That's cool. And am I correct? Did you play on the Frozen Ghost, the first album? Were you?
I did. Yeah. I did. Was that the first record? Yeah. Arnold reached out, and that came through Warner's, because we were both signed to, well, WEA then. And yes, they invited me to play on some tracks, which that's always a really great compliment. I hadn't done a lot of session work with people, but I was starting to get it. And to be asked to play on a record and play some solos, I was pretty humbled by that. So, and then Arnold and I became really great friends, and we ended up doing a lot of recording at his studio in Toronto when he used to live there.
Yeah, that's funny, because we were previous band. We were actually opening up touring with Frozen Ghost, and I think we were playing Barrymore's, and it was at like that week or whatever that the Sheriff song, Baby, when I'm with you, that, remember when it just went absolutely ballistic in the US?
That was crazy.
Yeah, and I know Arnold joked, he goes, I just bought the rights back for less than the cost of a used vehicle. And that was the end of the tour. That was pretty much the end. All right. I
mean, he's a smart guy. You know, who knew, right? Who knew? Yeah. But that's what owning your publishing can do. And who knew? That's one in a million when that happens, man. Good for those guys. But in Frozen Ghost, they also opened for us on a Canadian tour.
Nice.
And a young Phil X was the guitar player in that band.
Yeah.
And that's when I first met Phil, and he's just a goofy kid then. And so years later, I mean, you know, we've been friends for a long time now. Of course, he's with Bon Jovi, and I see Phil once in a while when he comes through, go out and see a show, but he's the same guy. But it's just funny how over time, you know, connections and how people come back around into your life.
Yeah.
100%. Sounds like a small world. Like,
yeah, it is. I guess it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. That's Stephen Wright. It is a weird world, you know. Sometimes I'm just floored by things that happen. We were doing a tour in Europe once, and we had a day off. We're in like Munich or somewhere, one of the cities in Germany. And I'm just walking down the street, and somebody turns around and goes, "Hey, Derry, what's going on?" I turn around, and somebody recognized me in Germany. And it was somebody from the States or something. Like, the coincidence was just bizarre that somebody would pass you. What are the chances? But these things happen to me in my life, and I think it's cool when they do.
That is so awesome. Derry, we have a segment called Lost Venues. Stories about venues that no longer exist. Sometimes they're horror stories, funny stories. Wondering, Derry, if you have a story of a lost venue.
Yeah, I do have a story, but it's not a happy story. It's a story of a club. I don't know if you remember the nightclub in was it Connecticut or New England, and it burned down.
What was the name
of that place? Famous, horrible, horrible thing that happened. Look it up. It was this old wooden rock bar, and we'd gone down to play it, and we played it about 2 months before that happened, a short time. And I remember being there. It was a cool little kind of beachy place with a whole lot of wood in it. And then, you know, we did the gig. It was fun. And then 2 months later, I hear about this, you know, when Great White played there, this horrible thing that happened. And I was just there not long before. And man, there's just like, when you've been there so recently that's a story. And it's not a pleasant memory, but that club is obviously not there anymore, but
sadly, the station. And the station. I had White in my head. I was thinking White, the name of the bar, but yeah, it was right. It was the Great White Show when the pyrotechnics.
However, there are many clubs that we have played. We have happy memories that don't exist any longer, but we sure had a good time when we were there. And now some of these places are, a Harvey's or something, you know, who knows?
Yeah. You're in Nashville. Is it the same? I don't want the same, but do you see that in Nashville a lot? These bars or clubs that are, you know, famous internationally or locally that have closed down and someone else has opened them up doing something else, whether it's a Harvey's or something else?
Yeah. That happens all the time. And it's rock bar is a tough business and they come and go. But there are still some really famous venues that have been down here a real long time, and they're cool to go to. And then there's Broadway, where all these country stars are popping bars up down there, and it's just a damn circus, you know. It's like Clifton Hill in Niagara Falls. It's nuts. I don't go down there. It's all that, you know. It's very tourist. But there are off of Broadway, there's some great old venues like the Station Inn and the Bluebird and all that. They're all still there. And you never know in this town, you know, you can go to a little club with 40 people in it, you know, and Keith Urban will walk in and pick up a guitar and start jamming. It's cool like that. It's the town.
That's awesome. That's crazy.
One of the things I think ties into Nashville, I know you're very proud of your daughter's musical career. I'd love to share a bit about Leah's career and how she's doing.
She's doing great. We have a house together. This is where I'm at now, my little studio room. And she's, my wife and I are renting a house with her in Nashville so that I have a bass and she has her part of the house with her studio. And I'm kind of here sometimes. And I also have a house in Illinois, so I'm kind of all over the place. But anyways, Leah's doing fine. Great. Thank you. And she's, just released another EP, and right now she's working on her summer tour dates and stuff, and just working on the career, writing songs, man. And it's hard for these kids these days to rise up above the noise. You know, there's so many talented kids out there, but the American Idol thing gave her a huge boost to her career, and things are going very well for her. So you're going to hear more soon. In the future. She's only 22, so she's got a lot of time to get it right. It all comes down to the songs, man. That's all she does is write. But we are coming up we have a show. I should plug this. May the 24th, we are playing Classic Bowl in Toronto for the Ronald McDonald charity thing we do every year. It's a class bowl. It's pretty big. It runs over 3 days now. It's a very well done. It's in a bowling alley, but it's a lot of fun. And so Honeymoon Suite's playing there on the 24th. And Leah is coming with me too. She's going to open the show. So that'll be a fun night.
That's great.
That is awesome. Derry, you know, I know it's 7. Do you have a couple of minutes? We just have a couple of more questions we wanted to ask you.
I'm good on time, man.
Okay. First off, listen, congrats on the new album. Yes. Alive.
Right.
What keeps you guys after, like, it's been 40 years, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
Still playing together, still writing new music together. What is it that keeps you guys going after all these years?
Because we still enjoy, we love what we do. I get up every day, I play guitar pretty much first thing I do. And the other guys, it's the original guys, which I love. And we're still all real good friends. And we like making music together. We don't put a lot of thought into it. We just can't wait to see each other again, you know, if we're out on the weekend and hang out and goof off. And then we get to go make noise for 2 hours on stage. So, yeah, we've been doing a long time, man. But, you know, it's the fans and the radio that are there that keep us there. So why would we stop? You know, I got now this is the best thing. You know, I'm not going to go retire and play golf. I don't do that. It's just lucky to be still doing it. So I'm just going to keep doing it until it's not fun anymore. And right now it's still fun. And why do we make a new record? Because every once in a while, you know, a situation will come up and somebody will approach us with the right situation because records are expensive. So we found a great producer named Mike Crumpus this time around. And he'd started a label. He heard some of the new songs and he said, let's make a record. So we're not signed to a label anymore. We're not on any release schedule. But when the time is right and Johnny and I have some good songs, things just kind of come together and like they did now. And now we have this record called Alive. And I think it's really, really great.
That is awesome. Greg, you want to wrap it up?
One last question.
Yeah.
What are you listening to lately? What's in your earbuds or earpods or your headphones or whatever that people should be checking out?
Well, a lot of times I like classical music, believe it or not. I mean, it depends on my mood because I put on a classical because it helps me think. There's no lyrics or words to distract me if I'm working on something else. But as far as music goes, I'm kind of all over the place. You know, I get a lot of... I hear a lot of new music through my daughter, Leah. You know, she exposes me to a lot of these younger artists who are really great. I love the Americana stuff. I love Casey Musgraves and Maren Morris and you know, that kind of stuff. Not really country. I'm not a big country redneck guy, but in the country genre, there's so many different styles of music. Rock stuff, there's nothing new. There's no new rock bands that really, you know, make me like, this is great. I haven't seen one yet, you know, with the old school like Van Halen or like all the great bands from the 80s. But they're coming up. They are out there. I like the Killers, you know. I listen to a lot of older music, a lot of guitar players, and I listen to a lot of myself. So sure. I don't, if I'm writing, I'm not listening to a lot of albums like a new artist. I don't have time because my hands are so full if I'm writing 6 or 7 songs at one time.
Makes sense.
That is awesome. Derry, thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, if you want to consume some awesome classic rock Canadian music, check out Honeymoon Suite Band. .com or go search Honeymoon Suite on your favorite music app or you know, we just finished a record store day. Go check out go see if you can find some of their music in your local record shop.
It's hard to find a record shop period, but I'm glad vinyl's coming back. But what the people can do is go to honeymoonsuite.com or honeymoonsuiteband.com.
Yeah.
On there, you'll find the web store or the merch or whatever. You click on that, it takes you to another place, and you can find the new album, the CD, or vinyl, and then all the older records, shirts, everything. So it's all there.
That is awesome. We'll make sure to put that in our link, in our description and in our write-up. But Derry, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully we see you when you swing by Toronto.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you.